Dear listeners, you're listening to the Muslim Community Radio on 92.1 FM. It's now time for the Islamic Education Series.
This world is a flag for us, and we know well that we must obey the orders from our Lord to avoid our sins and seek reward. This world is a flag for us, and we know well that we must obey the orders from our Lord to avoid our sins and seek reward.
The Islamic Education Series, lessons about the belief, acts of worship, and Islamic manners. God willing, this knowledge will help our youth contribute to building communities based on sound values and make them safe in the hereafter.
To Islam we must be true, in everything we think and do.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ربي تسليما كثيرا. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: واذكر في الكتاب موسى إنه كان مخلصا وكان رسولا نبيا. In the land of Egypt were the children of the prophets of Allah, Ibrahim, Ya'qub, and Yusuf lived. There reigned an evil, the wicked Pharaoh. One day, this evil Pharaoh dreamt of a huge fire that came from Palestine, burning everything that was on the land of Egypt, except what belonged to the descendants of Israel. Another name for Prophet Ya'qub. Disturbed by his dream, the Pharaoh searched for its interpretation. He was told it meant that someone was going to reach this land and take over the rule. In an attempt to prevent this from happening, the Pharaoh ordered that all newborn baby boys be killed. He ordered all midwives to kill all baby boys they delivered. He appointed his men to ensure that his orders are carried out. The soldiers humiliated pregnant women and subjected them to different types of torture. Some had miscarriages in fear of the soldiers' torture. At the same time, all the men started dying in big numbers. The leaders of Egypt complained to the Pharaoh. They said, "The elderly is dying, and the newborn are being killed. If this continues, we will not have male servants to do all the hard labor." To this, the Pharaoh responded by ordering that the newborn boys be killed every second year. Prophet Harun, Aaron, peace be upon him, was Moses' brother and was born in the safe year for boys. 3 years later, Moses, was born in the year of killing baby boys. His mother, pregnancy with him and delivery went without people noticing anything on her. Allah the Exalted revealed to his mother, Ayathecht, to breastfeed him, and to place him in a box on the river if she feared for his safety. Moses' mother did this, attaching the box to a rope tied at the river bank. Every day she looked after her baby, and when she sensed the soldiers, she would place her son in the box on the river. One day she forgot to tie the rope, and the box floated away in the Nile River. The Pharaoh's maids were bathing in the Nile when they caught the box. They brought it into the palace, thinking it was some lost treasure. It so happened that the moment Asya, the Pharaoh's wife, opened the box and laid eyes on baby Musa, she felt a great desire to keep him. She was kind and good-hearted, unlike her evil husband, and she could not bear children. She pled with the Pharaoh to spare him from death and to allow her to raise him. Consequently, Musa was not killed. 8 days had passed by, and baby Musa continued to reject the milk of all those who came to nurse him. He was growing hungrier, making Asya anxious in her search for a suitable woman to breastfeed him. Meanwhile, Musa's mother was alarmed to discover that Musa had floated away in the box. She also heard that the Pharaoh found a boy in a box and kept him in his palace. So she sent her daughter Maryam to check on Musa's condition. Maryam went to the palace. There she witnessed the anguish of the Pharaoh's wife over baby Musa. Maryam told her that she would fetch the woman Musa would respond to. Asya did not know who Maryam was talking about, but nevertheless she accepted her help. As Musa's mother walked in the palace, she was graciously welcomed by Asya. Musa had responded very well and settled in the hands of this woman. He was fed to satisfaction. Baby Musa was not only saved, but by the will of Allah, he was raised and nurtured by his own mother in the Pharaoh's palace. Musa had the best teachers to educate him. He grew up to become clever and capable. One day, Musa passed by two men fighting. One of the men was from his own people, so he asked Musa for help. Musa approached the other man, who was a Coptic, and not realizing his own strength, punched him with such an impact that the Coptic fell dead to the ground. The Copts were the supporters of the Pharaoh. They approached him to revenge for them from the children of Israel. They said, "It is one of them that killed one of our men." The Pharaoh asked them to bring him the killer and a witness to the act. And so it happened that the next day Prophet Musa passed again by two men fighting. One of them was from his own people. He asked for Musa's help. As Musa angrily at the Coptic approached them, he realized that the same man that he helped the day before is asking for his help again. This man thought that Musa's displayed anger was on him because of his recurring fights. Frightened, he said to Musa, "Are you going to kill me like you killed a man yesterday?" Immediately, this other man left them and ran to the Pharaoh to tell him that Musa was the killer. The Pharaoh erupted in fear and remembered the dream he had years ago and realized that Musa may be the person predicted to take over the kingdom, and the Pharaoh was now seeking Musa. One of the Pharaoh's men was a Muslim who kept his belief in secret from the rest. It is said he was Ezekiel, Hizqiel. He rushed to Musa and advised him to leave Egypt. Musa journeyed out of the Pharaoh's land, reaching a land called Madian, and became free from the Pharaoh's rule. On his way, he passed by a well, where the shepherds gave water to their sheep. There, Musa found two women wanting to give water to their sheep, but could not come close enough. They feared they would lose their sheep if they mixed with the others. As the shepherds finished, they put back the huge rock that was kept on the well. The rock needed 10 men to move it. These two women approached Musa for help. He moved the huge rock by himself and returned it back as the two ladies finished giving water to their sheep. The two sisters returned home and told their father the story and asked their father to reward him. It was said that the father was Prophet Shaib. Hearing the story, he sent his daughter Safura to invite Musa to their house. One of the special qualities befitting prophets was illustrated by Musa, peace be upon him. Having accepted the invitation, he asked Shu'aib's daughter to walk behind him and to show him the way verbally. Musa took this precaution in case the wind blew on her dress. It might show her body contours. Later, Prophet Shu'aib offered his daughter Safura in marriage to Prophet Musa. Musa accepted and led a happy and peaceful life with his wife and Prophet Shu'aib and his family. Years later, Musa felt the need to go back home to Egypt. He missed his mother. He missed his sister Maryam and his brother Harun. So he traveled with his family to see them. The night was dark, rainy, cold. Prophet Musa had his pregnant wife, two children, and some sheep with him. They lost the way and did not know which way to go. His wife started having delivery contractions. He could not find anything to ignite a fire with. And while in that state, he noticed some distant light. He thought it to be a fire in the valley of Tua in Egypt. He saw a magnificent light stretched through to the sky. It was at this time in the valley of Tua that Musa alayhi salam was bestowed upon with prophethood. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وكلم الله موسى تكليما. Allah is attributed with speech, but his speech is not in Arabic or English, not a language without words or phrases or sounds as we know it. What we know or can imagine are part of Allah's creation. Allah and his attributes are unlike any of his creations. He is the creator, and we and our actions are creations. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى فلما أتاها نودي يا موسى إني أنا ربك فاخلع نعليك إنك بالوادي المقدس طوى وأنا اخترتك فاستمع لما يوحى إنني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري. Allah ordered Musa to take his shoes off so that his feet would touch the blessed land. Musa understood from Allah's eternal kalam, speech, that his mission was to teach people to worship Allah alone, as did all prophets before him. Similarly, Allah bestowed upon Musa miracles to demonstrate to the people the truth to his claim of prophecy. Allah the Exalted told Musa to throw his cane, his walking stick, by the will of Allah turned into a huge male snake. Another miracle bestowed upon Musa in the valley of Tua was visible on his hand when it glowed brightly as he took it out of his pocket upon the order of Allah. Allah the Exalted told Musa to go to the Pharaoh with his brother Harun and call him to Islam. As soon as Musa reached Egypt with his family, he carried out what was ordered of him. He went to see the Pharaoh with his brother Harun and told him words to this effect. Allah, who is the Lord of the world, has sent me to you to tell you that no one is God but Allah, and I am the messenger of Allah. I come with the truth. When the Pharaoh heard this, he became very furious and shouted, "You lie! No one except the great Pharaoh of Egypt is the Lord of the world. You must be out of your mind to dare to say otherwise. If you disobey me, I will throw you into prison, he said. Musa was not frightened by his anger or his threats. Musa threw his cane on the ground, and it turned into a huge snake once more, hoping that by displaying this miracle, the Pharaoh would submit to the truth. This was not to be. You're obviously a magician, said the Pharaoh. I will call together all the magicians in the land, and then we'll see who will make better magic. The magicians arrived with many sticks and ropes, which they threw on the ground. The people watching were merely illusioned into seeing them turn to snakes. It was Moses' miracle that made the most impact. As he threw his cane to the floor, once more it turned into a giant snake and swallowed all the sticks and ropes. It was mentioned that the size of the snake was so huge that when it opened its jaws, it touched the ceiling of the Pharaoh's palace. Being mere illusionists, the magicians knew that Musa was not a magician, but truly a prophet of Allah, supported with great miracles. Consequently, they confessed by saying, "We believe in Allah, our Lord, and the Lord of Musa and Harun." The Pharaoh became furious. He said, "Do you want to believe in something before I give you permission to do so?" He threatened to torture them in revenge of their defiance to him. But they did not care. They remained strong and steadfast on their true path. Allah had guided their hearts and enabled them to see the truth. Allah knows best. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa ahkam. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This world is a trap for us, and we know well that we must obey the orders from our Lord to avoid our sins and seek reward. This world is a trap for us, and we know well that we must obey the orders from our Lord to avoid our sins and seek reward.
The Islamic Education Series, Lessons About the Belief, Acts of Worship, and Islamic Manners. God willing, this knowledge will help our youth contribute to building communities based on sound values and make them safe in the hereafter.
To Islam we must be true in everything we think and do.
You have just listened to the Islamic Education Series. Stay tuned to the Muslim Community Radio on 92.1 FM.